Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to UTI Asset Management Company Limited Q1 FY23 Earnings Conference Call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Imtiazur Rahman, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Surojit Saha, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Head Operations, Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Communications. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties are on the disclaimer slide of the investor presentation that has been shared earlier. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. It is my great honor to welcome all of you to the earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2023. I thank you for joining us to discuss the financial and operating performance of our company, UTI AMC Limited. It has been a momentous occasion for the country, as Honorable Srimati Drupadi Murmu took the office as the youngest President of India and the first person from India's tribal communities to serve as our President. I have with me my distinguished colleague, Mr. Saha, CFO, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Head of Operations, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Strategy. Friends, the global economic recovery post the pandemic is posed with challenges following the geopolitical conflict in Europe. Central banks around the world are tackling the surging inflation. In response to the rising headwinds, the Reserve Bank of India, through its monetary policy, has taken a stance to withdraw accommodation to ensure that inflation remains within the target going forward while supporting the growth with the supply outlook appearing to be favorable and several high frequency indicators pointing to resilience of the Indian economy during the quarter. RBI expects that inflation may ease gradually in the second half of the financial year. The Indian equity market witnessed corrections during the quarter. The benchmark indices for the equity market closed with red, with Sensex closing at 53,019, down by 9.5%, and Nifty ending at 15,780, down by 9.6%. Friends, over the last two quarters, the decline in equity market has impacted the quarterly average AUM of the mutual fund industry. The quarterly average AUM of mutual fund industry as of June 30, 2022 stood at 37.7 lakh crore, marginally down from 38.4 lakh crore as of 31st March 2022. Despite correction in the equity market, number of folios rose to 13.47 crore as of June 30, 2022 from 12.95 crore as of March 31, 2022. A jump of around 4%. In order to give you the further details of UTI Mutual Funds and AMC's performance, I now hand over to my colleague, Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Strategy, to take the discussion forward. Sandeep?
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everyone. I will start with UTI Mutual Fund and UTI AMC's performance. We are pleased to inform you that during the first quarter, UTI AMC was one of the two mutual funds among the top 10 which saw AUM growth. As compared to the last quarter, our quarterly average AUM increased by ₹437 crores. UTI Mutual Fund quarterly average AUM as on 30th June 2022 stood at 2,24,279 crores, witnessing a year-on-year growth of 19.8%. Or by approximately ₹37,069 crores from ₹1,87,210 crores as of quarter one in FY22. This has led to an increase in our market share to 5.94% for the quarter ended June 22 from 5.83% for the quarter ended March 22. On closing AUM basis, our market share has increased by 3 basis points to 5.89% as on June 30th, 2022, from 5.86% as on March 31, 2022. Our equity quarterly average AUM market share is 5% for the April to June quarter. Our equity quarterly average AUM for the quarter ended June 22 stood at ₹66,693 crores with an increase of 23.49% as compared to the quarter ended June 21. The quarterly average AUM for index and ETF recorded a year-on-year growth of 45.95% to 65,199 crores for the June 22 quarter. Net sales for UTI Mutual Fund for quarter one of this financial year stood at ₹3,771 crores, while the overall industry saw an outflow of ₹4,539 crores. The equity net flows for UTI Mutual Fund amounted to 4% of the industry net inflows and stood at 1953 crores as compared to net flows of ₹975 crores for Q1 of FY22, while ETF and index fund net inflow stood at ₹4854 crores, gaining 11.8% of the industry net inflows. Hybrid funds witnessed a net outflow of 164 crores for the quarter. UTI was able to capture market share of 8.5% of the gross sales of the industry during the quarter. The total assets under management for UTI Group registered a growth of about 15% over the corresponding quarter of previous year and stood at ₹13.82 lakh crores as on 30th June 2022 as against 12 lakh crores as on 30th June 2021. During the quarter, UTI added 1.38 lakh folios, taking up the number of live folios to 1.20 crores as on 30th June 2022 from 1.19 crore as on 31st March 22. During the quarter, our number of SIP accounts rose by 5.44%, taking the total number of live SIP folios to 22.67 lakhs as on June 22. The new SIP registered during the quarter were 2.58 lakhs. Our SIP AUM witnessed a growth of 14.59% over the corresponding quarter of last year, reaching to ₹17,788 crore as of June 22 from ₹15,523 crore as of June 21. The SIP inflows for the quarter stood at ₹1550 crore, rising by 4.1% over the fourth quarter of the last financial year and by 53.66% from the corresponding quarter last year. The SIP gross inflows for UTIMF witnessed a year-on-year growth of 53.66% as against the industry growth of 37.08%, with the average SIP ticket size being ₹3365 for June 2022. Keeping up with our commitment to deeper and better access to beyond 30 cities, 23.3% of our monthly average AUM for June 22 came from the B30 cities, while the industry stood at 16.6%. In terms of the B30 market monthly average AUM. 108 out of our 167 UFCs are in the beyond 30 cities. The weighted average AMC yield slightly reduced to 40 basis points from 41 basis points in the previous quarter. Now I come to the UTI AMC financials. UTI AMC continues to undertake cost control measures and improve its profitability and margin. During the first quarter, the company posted a consolidated net profit of ₹94 crores and a consolidated core net profit of ₹111 crores. This core PAT excludes mark-to-market gains and income from sale of investment and other non-operating income, as against ₹86 crores in quarter one of FY22, reflecting a growth of 29%. There is a growth in the core profitability of the UTI Group. For UTI AMC standalone, the core PAT of UTI AMC Limited in quarter one of FY23 is 101 crore, reflecting a growth of 71% quarter on quarter from quarter four of FY22 and 44% year on year from quarter one of FY22. Whereas the core income is at ₹234 crore in quarter one of FY23, growth of 9% year on year from quarter one of last FY and negative 2% quarter on quarter from quarter four of FY22. For UTI Retirement Solutions Limited, the AUM of UTI Retirement Solutions Limited has increased 14.5% on closing basis to 2,01,919 crore from 1,76,338 crore in quarter one of FY22. The PAT of UTI RSL is at 10.7 crore, a decrease of 18.89% compared to corresponding quarter of last year. UTI International Limited, the management fee of UTI International is at rupees 32 crore, an increase of 23% YOY from rupees 26 crore in quarter one of FY22. UTI Capital has made a net loss of 1.2 crore in quarter one of FY23. The operating profit margin as a percentage of AUM for quarter one of FY23 was 17 basis points as against 16 basis points for quarter one of FY22. Employee cost of the group in quarter one of FY23 was 101 crore, witnessing an increase of 7% year on year as against an amount of 94 crore in quarter one of FY22. For the subsidiaries, I would provide a brief highlight on the performance of our subsidiary. UTI International has an AUM of rupees 25,990 crore as of 30th June 2022. Our international clients are across 38 countries. They are primarily institutions, pensions, insurance companies, banks and asset managers. One of our flagship funds, the India Dynamic Equity Fund, domiciled in Ireland, has an AUM of US$970.6 million and is widely recognized internationally. UTI International's J. Safra Sarasim Responsible India Fund, an ESG compliant India fund, has an AUM of US$93.2 million. We have also launched the UTI India Innovation Fund during the first quarter of this year. This quarter, we have commenced operations from our office in Paris, France, to strengthen our foothold in the European market. UTI Retirement Solutions has been managing the NCS corpus for the government and the non-government sector. As of 31st March 22, its AUM is rupees 2,03,786 crore and has a share of 27.37% of the industry AUM. UTI Capital, with a total AUM of rupees 1,551 crore, currently manages active debt funds, which includes the UTI Structured Debt Opportunity Fund, SDOF 1, which was launched in August 2017 and closed in March 2019 and has an AUM of 281 crore. Currently, the fund is in exit mode. UTI Structured Debt Opportunities Fund 2 was launched in September 2020 and has an AUM of 507 crore. And the fund is currently in fundraising as well as investing stage. UTI HDOC 2 has a well-defined ESG policy and strategy. UTI Multi-Opportunity Fund 1, which was launched in March 22, which has an AUM of rupees 763 crore. Currently, the fund is in investing stage. Further, UTI Capital has set up another fund, UTI Structured Debt Opportunity Fund, Growth Team 1, which was approved by SEBI in April 22. The investment thesis of this fund being similar to HDOF 1 and 2, this fund has now been rebranded as HDOF 3 and will be launched in the market by September 22 quarter. I would now request the Managing Director and CEO for his concluding remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep. Friends, I would like to reiterate that we shall continue to focus on growing the high-yield assets as well as our people, process and performance. With this, I would like to open the forum for Q&A and thank you for joining us on this call.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Am I audible?
Viraj, sorry, but your voice is coming a little muffled. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so just have a couple of questions. First is on the domestic mutual fund business. If you kind of look at last few months, we have seen a very significant normalization of commission payouts by various competitors. especially the ones who have been very aggressive in the last few years in the market. But still, if we can see, you know, see our overall yield in the domestic market, we'll still see a pressure on the yield. So just wanted to understand, you know, what will be the drivers of that, and going forward, how should one understand the yield movement for us in the domestic mutual fund business? So that is one. Second is, again, on the domestic mutual fund, you know, we've seen some moderation in our domestic mutual fund market share, especially in active equities. And if you look at our performance ranking of some of our major schemes like, say, FlexiCap, they have also kind of moderated in the last 1 year basis. But at the same time, when you look at our SIP, share of SIP, that has been quite stable at around 4.5%. So just want to understand, you know, what is driving this moderation and how should we understand our market share play, you know, going forward? So what kind of levers you think you have to drive the market share up? Thank you.
Yeah, hi Viraj. So first of all, I'll take the questions on the yield. As far as the competition pricing are concerned, as stated in the earlier call as well, the ratio of payout between the manufacturer and the distributor is close in the range of around 50 to 80%, 50% being the lower end of the spectrum that is being shared with the individual financial advisor, and 80 to 85% in case of a normal high-end distributor like a bank and a national distributor. Things haven't changed much as far as this sharing are concerned. Yes, while the industry has witnessed lesser NFOs where the pricing structures get distorted, but as far as the open-ended schemes are concerned, the pricing ratios between the manufacturers and the distributor remain the same. We do have some impact on our yield as well. So as compared to the last quarter, the yield has, AMC margin yield has actually fallen down by 1%, and we expect some dilution in the yield going forward as well of around maybe around 1 to 2 basis points, primarily because of three factors. Firstly, as you all know, equity inflow that is actually coming, the fresh inflow is coming at a lower yield as compared to the stock AUM yield, which is close to around 85 to 90 basis points. So that kind of drag the overall yield. Secondly, the industry has witnessed exponential growth in the ETF and the index AUM over the last 2 to 3 years. And we see that trend to continue in near future as well. And as you are aware, that ETF and ETF, our AMC fee is in the range of around 5 to 6 basis points. And since we have a sizable share of ETF AUM, and with the AUM growing, it kind of drag our overall yield number. And the third reason is that we are witnessing some kind of uptick in the performance of our fixed income fund as being demonstrated in the 1 year and the 3 year return. And our focus is to increase our market share, which we have lost in last 2 to 3 years. Since you are all aware, the AMC yield under the fixed income category is in the range of around 25 to 28 basis points. So any growth in the fixed income category and the market share may have some kind of an impact on the yield number, overall management yield number going forward. So yes, we see some bit of dilution in the management yield number going forward, but I stated earlier, the core PAT yield remains strong at around 20 basis points, and we don't see much of dilution in that, primarily because of the cost reduction exercise that is happening, and we all are aware that because of operating leverage, the core should support our PAT yield number, and the profit margin number should actually has been improving quarter on quarter over the last 2 to 3 years. With respect to your second question, that is on the market share, we have seen some bit of dilution or reduction in our equity scheme market share, which has fallen by roughly around 17 basis points. Actually, the overall the gross sales percentage as compared to the industry for UTI during this quarter was 4%, which was lower than our 5.2% market share, which has impacted. But this is, we believe, primarily in the lump sum redemption. In the SIP book, actually, our market share has actually improved by almost around 22 to 23 basis points as being presented in our investor presentation. So while we are seeing some bit of traction in the SIP book, because of some lump sum redemption, the market share under the equity categories has slightly fallen. Viraj?
Sir, So just a follow-up on the first part, on the yield part. So I understand there's a impact of new money coming in at a much more higher profit sharing than the old book. But, last 1 year, we, as you rightly said, we had seen a lot of money NFOs, and the intensity was also quite high from the competition. Since that is also normalizing, one would probably think that, there is avenues to kind of increase the yield or normalize the yield back to the levels they were, say, 6-8 months or a year back. But that is not really happening anymore. So why is that? I mean,
Viraj, you need to appreciate that the AMC margins on the NFO is at a significantly lower rate. However, for the ongoing scheme as well, the yield that the AMC is earning vis-a-vis the stock OEM, there is a differential. So because of that, the downward pressure on the yield remains. Yes, I do agree the number of NFOs have actually slowed down, but still, since the fresh inflows is coming at a lower yield as compared to the stock AUM yield of equity fund, which is close to around 85 to 90 basis points, there will be some kind of impact on the overall yield number as well.
Okay, just one last and I'll come back in queue. Of the total book, especially in active equity, how much will be new versus the old book? I mean, just any indicators, just to get a sense where this kind of would, when we should kind of expect this to settle down at, in terms of incremental impact.
No, we don't have that kind of numbers available.
Okay, I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Tanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was on UTI International. Can you throw some light on, the AUM? It continues to be, under pressure. I understand, we had raised some money in the last quarter, but which is not visible. But on the other side, if you look at the profitability, it has improved on a QOQ and a YOY basis. So if you can throw some light both on the AUM and the profitability for this quarter and going ahead, how should one look at it? Second was on employee cost. Again, if you see this quarter, there is, of course, a reduction QOQ basis, but that's more of a, variable cost going out. So we had talked about, reduction in employees and reduction in cost. So by when should one expect it playing out in the P&L? Will it be this year or next year? And, these are two questions.
Yeah, in respect of the UTI International business, let me just tell you, in the space of India dedicated offshore fund, UTI is the top three Indian AMC. This is because we started our offshore 20 years back and we have dedicated teams in the different cities around the world. And these are local people which gives us very good connectivity with the international market. While FII has sold $25 billion from India in last 9 to 10 months, in our offshore fund, UTI has a net positive to the extent of $250 million from 1st April 21 till date and $2 million from Jan 22 to till date. And this mainly includes the UTI invested in the IDF corpus. So overall, we have very confident in respect of the growth in AUM of the UTI International. And we have new funds on the pipeline. And we have seen a lot of traction in respect of our good performance in the international market.
Sure. And on the profitability?
Yeah. Profitability, you must be seeing our revenue has been continuously increasing over there. But it is mainly because of the mark-to-market loss which has happened in respect of one of the scheme that is IDEF. And in respect of IDF, I can tell you, in the offshore business, whenever we launch fund, the investors always ask us about our skin in the game. Therefore, to show our conviction about the fund, we invest in our own money as seed capital. While IDF has shown a negative return, it has almost doubled since inception. Like today, cost-wise, it is 116 crore is outstanding. It values to around 257 crore. Thus, we get a good fees from it. And to add to that, this is a corpus which has been invested in basically quality and growth strategy stock. Portfolio exactly same as the UTI Flexi Cap. And since the growth stocks have shown a decline in the last 6 months, the NAV of IDEF has also seen a sub decline, but which we feel is a temporary impairment. And we are confident of a positive impact on the fees as well as the AUM.
No, so yeah, thanks for that. But what I meant was not MTM loss. I was more of, you know, looking at the operating profit. So if you see this quarter, we have reported of 15 crores versus, say, you know, 1 crore in 4Q of FY22. So from an operating profit point of view, how should one look at it going ahead? Because is it like with the flows coming back, the upfronting of commission, the operating profit will come down, or it will continue to be the way it is in this quarter?
The operating profit will definitely go up. You see the rise in revenue which has taken place in the last 3 months as well as in the last year. And with respect to, we have a operating profit of around 15 crores in INR. But because of the mark-to-market, you are seeing a 16 crore negative loss in the PBT position. So we are very confident of a good performance and operating profit in the international business.
Sure. And on employee cost?
Yeah, employee cost, see, we are a little bit restructuring the UK international business. You are on the employee cost of the UK group as a whole or for the UK international?
Group.
Yeah. Yeah, for the group, the quarter-on-quarter employee cost, you see a decline of 12% to 101 crore in Q1 FY23 from 115 crore in Q4 FY22. The annual appraisal cost was already factored in the quarter's financials. On the year-on basis, the employee cost has increased by 7%, mainly on account of increase in the staff cost of UK International and UK Retirement Solution due to the restructuring of the business. That you all know that because of the Brexit, we have opened a new office at Paris, which will be looking into the European business. And UK Retirement Solution, after the study done by BCG, we are doing some restructuring of the sales force, because of which the cost has increased. The employee costs are dependent on the four pillars, that is core employee cost, variable cost, insurance cost, and ESOP expenses. The core employee cost is on a stabilizing trend even after considering the annual increment wage hike. The variable cost will be in tandem with the revenue growth and AUM growth. And the insurance cost should be on a declining trend based on the increase in the interest rate movement. The ESOP expenses, however, will be dependent on the management decision. However, at this point of time, we don't have any plans regarding this. On the overall, we see a stabilizing trend in the employee cost even after the incremental annual wage hike.
My question was more on the reduction part. We had laid down a strategy to reduce the absolute cost of employees by reducing the number of employees. Are we on the same path for FY23?
Yeah. Yes, definitely there is a natural retirement which we have already told you in the last few calls, and that is already there. And we are also rationalizing our costs to the extent possible.
Sure. The last one, if I can squeeze in, is on the, if we look at our balance sheet, we have, quite a sizable of cash on the balance sheet. Any thoughts on buyback at this point of time?
We are deliberating different options, but we have not yet taken the decisions. On the management level, we are on the job.
Sure. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladda from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So first, again, going back on the employee costs, they continue to remain, high despite, employee reductions. Can you give us some breakdown of the four elements in this quarter?
Yeah, Madhukar, this four means cost of employee, variable and insurance cost for this quarter. Variable cost we have considered around 11 crores. Hmm. And the insurance cost is... Yeah, for this quarter, it is managerial is around 47 crore and the non-manager is around 60 crore, 17 crore. And overall variable, as I told you, we have taken around 11 crore and the insurance cost is around 5 crore and the ESOP cost is around 4.5 crore.
Okay, so the core salary bill is 47 plus 17 now on a quarterly basis. 64 crores.
Yeah.
And this should reduce, I believe.
Yeah, definitely with the natural retirement which is on the pipeline for during the next 9 months, this will be on a reducing trend.
And do we have sort of this number of the core salary cost number for, you know, Q1, FY22 and for the last quarter?
Yeah, we have it. We can share you offline. We have all that. For standalone basis, it's around 85. And
no,
for
consolidated basis is better, right?
Yeah, I will give you in the four different pillars which I have informed you.
Right, right. Okay. This quarter, if I do a little bit of a back of the envelope calculation, then have equity yields improved on a QOQ basis?
No, it's actually in the range of around 85 basis points, Madhukar. Very much similar to last level.
Last quarter? Okay. Understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Now you are.
Yeah, sure. So just a few questions from my side. First is, if you can give some color on the gross inflows that you're seeing from your top, let's say, 10 to 25 distributors and how this would have changed, let's say, over the past 1, 2, or 3 years. The second is, just a data keeping question, if you can give the number of unique investors unique investors and not the overall accounts as of date and how it has changed YOY and QOQ. My third question is more on the subsidiaries. I mean, if I look at their core profitability, just from, a ratio perspective and compare it with your standalone business, the core profitability on some of these businesses are definitely quite low compared to your standalone business. And given that a decent part of the profit stems from mark-to-market or other income on these businesses, your overall profitability is, for the consolidated entity is to some extent, kind of tends to be volatile when we compare it with some of the other listed peers. So any thoughts on how you see the subsidiaries going ahead? What are your thought processes on some of them? These are the three questions.
Yeah, so to reply to your first question, if we look at some of the key distributors, like the banking channel, our gross, sales with respect to equity, which is the more important category because the other categories are more, if you look at liquid, it's more direct. If you look at the bank, then in the last quarter, which was Jan to March, my share of wallet was about 2.74%. While in this quarter it has improved to, from the bank it has improved to 3.20%. So there is an improvement which we are seeing. Similarly for the mutual fund distributors who are, the large mutual fund distributors, it has improved from 6.63% in the last quarter to 6.85% in this quarter. So these are some of the important parameters. If I look at, overall, it has remained steady at 3.92%. So in the last quarter to 3.90% in this quarter. So that is my overall trend in the gross sales. We have the number of the total number of folios and which I mentioned that it is about 1.20 crore folios at an overall basis.
Would you have the number of unique investors amongst that?
Oh, that deduplication exercise we haven't done yet. So we are disclosing the number of folios only.
Sure. And just one follow-up on the first question. I was more trying to understand, given the fact that your distributor payouts will vary between smaller distributors versus larger ones. So while you get the wallet share and it is clearly showing a good picture, wanted to get some color on how the mix of flows is between, let's say, the top distributors in the MFDs versus the smaller distributors and how that would have shaped up both MFDs, national distributors, and banking channel.
Yeah, so if you look at the banking channel, generally the banking channel, the payout is on the higher side. So when I give you those numbers, these are generally on the higher side because, you know, the banks are the main distributors. So there we are seeing increase in our share of AUM as well as gross sales. And mutual fund distributor, it's a mix, but if you see the recent trends, we have seen that large distributors have been distributing a higher amount as compared to some of the smaller distributors. So there also we have seen an increase in the gross sales share of wallet.
Sure. And on the last question on the subsidiaries, I mean, any thought processes more from a long-term perspective on some of them and how do you see them, let's say, growing or delivering in terms of profitability or margins?
Good question, Mr. Ghosh. I'm Rehman. So far as subsidiaries are concerned, there are three subsidiaries. And the most profitable today is the UTI Retirement Solution. And margin is very good. We are further building this particular subsidiary and we are going to develop competencies in-house for the distributions of the NPS products. And this particular company will continue to grow in, and continue to contribute in a better way. UTI International is also a very stable subsidiary and this subsidiary makes a lot of money. But whenever there is a M2M gain or loss, it affects the profitability. But going forward, it appears that the outlook is the market volatility will also be settled down and this company will continue to have the core profit very strong. We are building the UTI Capital and therefore UTI Capital will take a couple of more years to start contributing. We have a very strong business plan. We have built a very strong track record in the fixed income product credit side and we have built a very good team. We have very good processes. And now the team supervises the entire investment operation. So therefore, I believe that going forward, UTI Capital, another subsidiary, will also be equally strong. All subsidiaries will contribute meaningfully to the parent company as a whole. Mr. Ghosh?
Yes, yes.
Yes. That's all from me.
Sure. You know, just one question if I can squeeze in. What is the product pipeline looking like in the standalone business for the remaining part of the year?
Indeed.
Yeah. So if you see, we have recently launched the GILT 10-year fixed maturity plan, which is a fixed 10-year plan, which is there. Apart from that, we have filed certain papers with SEBI. One in various categories, one for the passively managed debt index fund. Then for ETF, and we are also planning to launch an international fund of funds. So these are some of the funds in the pipeline, and we will be launching them in the coming quarters.
Sure. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Shane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, everyone. My first question is on the yields again. So if you spoke about debt, it is being in the range of 25 to 28 bps. So, you know, how would they have trended in the, say, last 4-5 years? And what I have been made to understand is that these are possibly the lowest yields what we've seen in the past 2 years. And now with the, you know, kind of the 10-year yield kind of closer to topping out, there will be incremental flows towards higher duration assets, the longer duration assets. Do you think that the debt segment yields can move higher and provide some cushion to the decline in yields? That would be my first question. Secondly, could you give some thoughts about the other expenses in line item wherein we've seen a sharp decline on a sequential basis. How to look at that number going ahead? Thirdly, if you could break down your cash investment into the compulsorily held, which you have to regulatory follow the investment, which is free or the free available cash.
I'll take the first question on the debt fund yield. So debt fund yield, yes, I had stated earlier, currently in the range of around 25 to 28 basis point, and that has been the trend over the last 2 to 3 years as well. But if you see, we believe that in the interest rate cycle is actually bottoming up, there may be a scope of a higher duration yield fund where the yields on the AMC yield can be at a slightly higher than the 25 to 28 basis points. So the higher duration product will have a higher AMC yield of around 30-35 basis points, but equally the market is also there for a shortened duration or a ultra short duration product where the yield are in the range of around 15 to 20 basis points. So overall, we do see at least for the next 6 months or so, fixed income products should be in the weighted average yield of around 25 to 28 basis point only. So Rajit, you can take on the pack.
Yeah, can you repeat your next question, please?
Yeah, my second question was on the other expenses line, wherein, you know, we've seen a sharp decline on a sequential basis. What are the reasons for the same, and how do we see it in terms of annual run for the full year?
Yeah, the decline, if you see, is mainly because of the two, three reasons. Like, if you see on the last quarter, our variable pay was much more compared to what we anticipated. So, because of that, and this year we have considered in the range of 45 to 50. Role, and we have done now we have, as an institution, we have agreed to do an actual calculation on a quarterly basis, and so that impact has come in the cost for this Q123 because of the current scenario which is existing in respect of the market scenario as well as the industry scenario. But our specific other costs, if you see the Q1 FY23, Q1 FY22, those are almost on the same range, as well as on a consolidated basis, except on certain reasons like Q4, it was around 65 crore, and for Q1 FY23, it's around 49 crore. The difference is mainly because of the BCG expenses, if you remember, which has come in respect of retirement in the last Q4 of around 3 crore. CSR expenses, the MOU is in process on the first quarter. The CSR expenses has not come to the full extent because as per Ind AS, we cannot accrue that CSR expenses. So that, and lastly, because of the trail fees, which you remember in the Q4, the trail fees of UK International was on a higher side, and this quarter it is around 5.3. And we expect that to maintain this run rate for the financial year 22-23.
Okay. And the third question was on the cash breakup between the, you know, your requirement to maintain your investments in the fund. As per the regulation, what would be that amount?
Yeah, as per the regulation, inclusive of the riskometer, we are invested around 160 crore in that particular statutory requirement.
Okay. And the last question is on the retirement solutions business. We are now at a market share of around 27%. If I remember correctly, it was supposed to be almost equal between the three government entities. And we are kind of running lower than that. We had seen some slowdown in flows in the first half. How do you see this business? You know, do you see that there can be incremental market share gains, or how do we see this business in terms of growth from here on?
No, if you see the UTI retirement solution on a year-on basis, it has grown up by 14.5%. That is from 2,03,786 crore to 1,76,338 crore. And during the year-on-year, the inflow was from June 21 to June 22, it is around 36,675 crore. On a quarter-up basis, the flow has been normalized, and we are getting like from December 21, March 22, and June 22, we are almost each quarter, we are getting around 7,000 to 9,000 crore a year.
What is the share in flow currently?
Come back again.
What will be your share in the flows? I think that the share in the flows is decided by a particular formula by the NPS authority, right? So what is the share in the flows currently?
Share of the flow is now almost 33%.
33%. Come back to 33%.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chignesh from Infrared Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, okay. So just going quickly first on this business of yours apart from mutual fund. So what will be the yields that you'll be making from all these businesses, and is it part of your total revenues or it gets clubbed into other income? If you can just give me some idea on that.
And come again with your question, didn't get it.
So the international businesses and the retirement fund, the yield that you make it out, is it part of your total revenues or it gets clubbed in other income?
No, it's part of the operating
sale income. Of service. Yeah, it's part of the sale of service shown in the balance sheet, in the line item.
Understood. Secondly, just out of curiosity, you had this investment losses that you recorded, 375 crores under OPEX. Generally, most of the other NBFs, other AMCs has been doing it up as a part of other income and all. So any specific reason? Because if I exclude that, then if I can see sequentially, there is a roughly around 20% dip on the overall OPEX side. So anything to read about it, or it's general practice that we guys are having it up?
No, it's our auditors are KPMG and we follow the Indus very clearly. So according to that, whenever there is income, it has to be shown in the total income, and if there are any loss, it has to be shown in the as a part of the expenses. So it is more of a presentation purpose. I have followed as per the guideline.
Okay, understood. So whenever it will be again, so
and we have clearly mentioned as a line item, so I don't think there is any there will be any problem for you as such in reading the financials.
No, this is pretty clear, but then when we compare to the OPEX, we have to specifically exclude that line.
Mentioned over there that the net loss there is 3778. We have clearly mentioned, so accordingly you can always take your judgment.
Sure. And other way around also had been that, no, I understand that we have been consistently pushing hard for overall employee charge to get reduced and all. Having said that, if you see even last year numbers also, we are roughly around our of total expenses, 61 to 63% kind of charge comes out from employee side, whereas for the rest of the AMCs, it would be somewhere between 45 to 48 or somewhere around. So gradually, do we see that we will also be able to reach out to that kind of levels, whereby your overall employee charge would be somewhere between 45 to 50% kind of a level of the total expense, or how do we see it up? And if that is the journey, how long do we think that the normalization of employee charge will be happening over a period of next 2 years, 3 years? How do we see it?
It will be a 2 to 3 year kind of a journey at least.
Okay. Okay. And this will be happening through majorly will be through the old retiring employees will not be getting replaced at all. So overall additions would be relatively lower. Is it correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Just lastly, from my side, I mean that I do understand that old equity had been a higher yield, and incrementally equity flows which are coming up are genuinely, granularly at a lower yields and all. How do we see it up that I'm specific for, because that already you have explained that if once it starts long tenure debt coming in, we will see that debt yields will be improving. How do we see that equity yields would be improving? What will be the strategy to improve equity yields for us? Anything which is there in our mind, or anything that gives us a kind of a way to see that yields will improve even on the equity side? Anything from your perspective?
That depends on the rationalization of the commission sector across the industry.
So for now, the commission, the competition is being built in, so it's difficult to see that the rise would be happening at least in near term. Is it a fair assumption?
Yeah.
All right. That would be useful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kaushik Agarwal from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have three questions. So firstly, the question is relating to slide number 27. So where we are basically highlighting geographical reach across the country. So the numbers which are mentioned across the employees, core sales team and the mutual fund distributors, these numbers are quite different or they have significantly changed from the last quarter. So how do we read this? Number one. Number two is on the debt schemes. So the composition of the debt AUM as part of my overall mutual fund quarterly average AUM has actually come down. And the only category which has seen significant decline in the AUM is debt schemes. So which kind of schemes are seeing redemption pressure? And lastly, on the employee costs, earlier, if I remember, you have mentioned that the cumulative employee ESOP cost would be of around 58 odd crores. And as per my calculation, we have already booked a cumulative ESOP cost of about 63 crores till FY22. And another 4 crore has been booked in this quarter. So how much amount is still left of this employee ESOP cost? And by till what period shall we continue booking it? So these are the three questions.
Yeah, thank you. So I'll just take the first question. If I come to slide number 27, if you see the total number of employees that we are giving, we have just given a qualification that these are the total number of employees, including UTI mutual fund employees, which is 1328, and which was the number we were giving till last quarter, and 55 employees of our subsidiary. So total number of employees is 1383. Which is under the UK AMC. And the other numbers are same. I mean, my number of UFPs were 167 in the last quarter also. Mutual fund distributors keep on changing here and there. And the other sales number is also similar. So that's the only thing which was different was the number of total number of employees, which last quarter was only for the standalone. This quarter we have given for the consolidated, and we have mentioned that as a qualification.
And on the fixed income side, yes, it's an industry-wide phenomena where there have been an outflow in the fixed income categories. We also lost money, but that primarily because of the closure of the fixed maturity plan that has not actually been rolled out. So there have been a series of fixed maturity plan that has redeemed, but because of the interest rate, the fixed maturity plan are not currently that much in favor. But with the interest rate bottoming out, we believe that longer duration product will become attractive, and that is an area where we believe that our market share, we should be able to improve our market share going forward. And on the employee cost, I'll ask you.
I think your last question was regarding the ESOP cost. For 22-23, the ESOP cost to be charged is 12.93, out of which 4.72 has been charged in Q1. For 23-24, it will be 3.78 crore. And for 24-25, it will be 0.84 crore.
How much was this total ESOP cost? ESOP cost. First tranche was how much? 27 crore. Total, total.
Past is 29, first one. For
that second one?
Second one, total is 12.13.
Yeah. So you tell him,
16.85.
He's saying, the total cost is only 45 crore. No, he's saying 67 crore. Giving the total cost in tranche 1, tranche 2 is 45.
Yeah, the tranche 1 was 29 crores, which has already been charged off. And the balance, which is for the new one, which has been given in 19, that is 16.85. Out of that, 12.93 will be in 22-23, 23-24 will be 3.78, and 24-25 it will be 0.84. And Q1, we have already charged 4.72.
Understood, sir. So just a follow-up question on the first question which I have asked. So this on slide number 27, this 722 core sales team, this is part of my 1383 UTI AMC employees number, or is it different?
Yes, yes, part of that only.
Okay, yeah.
This is not additional, this is part of that.
Understood, sir, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Jain from JM Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, I have a question on your investment balance. So, if I do a rough calculation, you have close to 3,000 crores worth of cash and investments. If I exclude, say, the PE and the offshore investments of around 600 crores and, say, 160 odd crores of regulatory requirement into your own schemes, and say if even if I take say additional 500 crores to that, it still leaves around 1500 to 1800 odd crores worth of cash on your balance sheet. So a lot of investors have been raising questions that, you know, why so high cash balance on your balance sheet rather than, you know, you can use this cash balance to say either pay out as dividends or a buyback. So we have been listening to a lot of answers that, you know, you are deliberating on this, but is there any timeline on, you know, when this cash will be utilized? And number two, on the dividend policy, I'm looking at the UTI console. So it's the dividend payout has been in the range of around 50%, while, you know, some of your competitors are paying in excess of 60%, and one competitor is even paying in excess of 80%. So why not, you know, pay higher dividends? And number two, why not utilize this excess amount of cash on your balance sheet? So these are my two questions.
Okay, so let me answer first. Let me answer first on the dividend. This time we have paid 67% dividend. We have a baseline in our policy that board may approve minimum 50%. Last year we had given the 61% dividend. So there is improvement in the dividend payout. And we will be consistent in paying the dividend. Regarding this utilization of the cash, yes, this is the cash is kept to have any acquisition that didn't work out. And B is whether we should do the buyback, we are still exploring, or the dividend payout, we will discuss this with our board and take an appropriate decision in due course. But we are cognizant that we are sitting on cash, and we are exploring the strategies how do we service this cash better for the in the interest of the shareholder.
Yes, sir, if you can get some timeline on this, because, you know, your cash is like around 3,000 crores, your market cap is 8,000 or crores. Like, it's more like around 35 to 40% of your market cap is sitting in cash. So, you know, it will be very helpful if you can get some timeline on, you know, when this cash can be utilized.
Good suggestion. Let me we'll discuss internally with the board, and hopefully the next call will be in a position to deliberate it better.
Fine, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for organizing this call, and thank you very much indeed for your active participation. UTIMC needs support of all of you. We are committed to serve all our stakeholders. And thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of UTI Asset Management Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.